see you guys. That was like a strained woo-hoo, I know. Thank you, though, for doing that. If you came in late, my name's Britt. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to start the service off by, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to be proud of your church, but I'm going to just take a pride moment. First of all, you know, this place was filled with kids all week at night, and a whole lot of volunteers, over 100 volunteers. You know, you can see our magical set is gone, but I am so proud of the effort that our church put in our vacation Bible school, a whole week of ministering to kids. And Leslie Purvis and Jerry Lund, are you here? Would you stand if you're here? Because you've been so instrumental. Leslie, stand up. Stand up. Thank you. She gets mad at me for that. And is Jerry here? And then if you were a volunteer for the week, would you stand too? It's like, just, it's going to blow your mind. Yeah. See what I mean? Thank you so much. That was amazing. And then many of you know that we're holding Tammy Serrano's memorial service here, the mom, grandma, who was tragically killed at the CVS, one of the local CVSs here in town. And we're just so privileged to be able to minister God's grace to this family. And I don't know if any of you follow our social media, but we had like a stack of volunteers. It was 120 cards we got from you guys last week saying, hey, I'll do something, even though I didn't tell you exactly what you were going to do, when you were going to do it. And you guys did it. And it's been the hardest thing this week has been finding stuff for everybody to do. So I hope that we found something for you to do. It's just, we're going to be able to show God's love to this family. And so thank you so much. I mean, like, that just really got me. You know, we're a church with a heart, and I love that. We love kids, and we love our community and people that are hurting. So, so that's my little proud moment. But, you know, we're starting a new series today. It's called Wise Up. And I want to start off by asking you a question. If we were together, you know, just, you know, having lunch or something, and I asked you, like, what could I pray for you for? You know, what do you really need? I bet you a lot of you would say, well, you could pray for my kids, or pray for my finances, or pray, you know, that I can figure out this decision. And all of these things would come to the forefront. But I'm here to tell you that that isn't what you really need. What you really need is wisdom. We all need wisdom. Yeah, all of these things are important, but wisdom affects every part of our lives. Proverbs 4, the book of wisdom, Proverbs, Solomon says this in chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve for them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. And notice verse 7. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. We need wisdom. That's why we're doing this series, Wise Up. You know, every summer we do kind of a fun series. Last year we did something called reruns. Last summer, I don't know if we went to all these passages that have become so trite to us, and we revisited them. And we thought that this summer we would take 8 weeks throughout the summer and focus on becoming wise. So every message for the next 8 weeks is going to come from the book of wisdom, Proverbs, in our effort to wise up. Now, when I say it's going to be a fun series, I think that it is, but that doesn't mean that it's not a serious series. Because as we just read, there is nothing more important than to be wise. We have to get wisdom. So this summer, we're going to try to wise up, all of us. You know, wisdom affects every choice that we have. And you might disagree with me here, but like when I read the Bible, it looks like every choice is either wise or foolish. There's no in between. I know that, you know, some of you would debate that, but if you look at the pattern even in the book of wisdom, Proverbs, it's constantly saying, here's the wise choice and here's the foolish choice. And so every choice that we make, and we make hundreds or thousands of them a day, is taking us somewhere. That's why I think wisdom is so important. You know, every thought eventually has the potential to become an action. And that action can become a habit. And a habit will establish my character. And my character most often determines my destiny. And it all starts with a single choice. A single choice repeated over and over again. Our choices are either wise or foolish, so we have to get wisdom. And when I talk about wisdom, I'm not just talking about what we think. You know, we think of wisdom as being, you know, like being smart or something like that. It's much more than that. Wisdom is not just how we think, but how we live. James, in his book, writes this: "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life." If you're wise, you should be able to show it. It should be expressed in the actual choices that we make day in and day out. I could ask you to raise your hand and say, how many of you believe you're wise? There you go, there's one. I'm wise. And James would say, then show me. James must have been from Missouri, because that's a show me state. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom isn't just about being smart or educated or having social skills or being intelligent or being experienced or even the ability to quote scripture or even just solely being a Christian. All of these things can contribute to us being wise, and we should all be constantly learning from those experiences and things that we learn. But that isn't the end answer. The end answer is that wisdom is expressed by how we live, by the choices that we make, and that's why we need to wise up. And so today, I want to kick off this series by just staying right in the book of Proverbs and give you seven things that are part of wising up, straight from Proverbs. So super basic, but very important, okay? The first step toward wising up is to realize that wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." We're going to talk about that in a second. But then notice chapter 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Wisdom comes from God. It's not an automatic that if you are a person of faith or you're a believer in Christ that you will be wise, but it does start there. In fact, again, you know, you may not agree with me, but I believe that it's impossible to be wise in the sense the Bible talks about and not be a Christian. You have to believe in Christ to be wise in this sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I wonder, those of you that have been Christians for a while, can you look back in your life and you can see that first step of faith, how much it's impacted your life over the years? Can you look back and see how faith has, you know, influenced the way you make decisions? And I believe that that's because when we start with God, when we understand that the creator of the universe, the designer of human beings, that if we follow his words, in his way, then that's going to generate something different than those that don't. And if God created human beings, he's the source of understanding how we operate and what is important to our souls. So wisdom cannot be found without knowing Christ. When I say knowing Christ, I mean that point in your life where you've believed in Jesus Christ and you've placed your faith in him for your salvation. It is not the end all. It's everybody that was ever a Christian is not, we know that they're not all wise. We're not all wise. But it does start there. James also talks about two kinds of wisdom. He talks about a wisdom that is not from heaven above. It's not from above, but it's earthly. There is a wisdom in the world. There's a shrewdness. There's a way to do business. There's being intelligent. There's knowing data and facts. There's having experience. These all contribute to wisdom, but it's a different kind of wisdom. James says the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, and it's peace-loving. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It is a different kind of wisdom. That's why I say the wisdom that we want to wise up with comes from God. That's where we start. Secondly, if God is the source of wisdom, then where do we get the wisdom from God? The second part of wising up is to read your Bible regularly. Wisdom and biblical literacy, they're a pair. They go hand in hand. Because the scripture is the most objective source we have for our faith, for understanding who God is. Yes, we have the contribution of others over the centuries, of our friends that know Christ, of great books and authors and commentaries and great music and the wisdom and advice of other brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the Spirit who leads us. But the most objective source that we have for understanding God and His wisdom is found in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and remember that he is one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament that we have. He says, "We speak not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." What he's saying is these words that I give you that are recorded in your Bible, they are from the Spirit. They are from God, and they're different than any other kind of wisdom that mankind has concocted. We need to know Scripture. It's impossible to be wise without knowing the Scriptures. And that's a problem because, let me be preacher for a second here, biblical literacy is on the decline. Christian people are not dedicating themselves like they have in other generations to understanding the Bible. Let me just lean in a little closer. If you know Christ, you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are not regularly in the Scripture, I can promise you, you will never be wise. Because you're proceeding in your life without this miraculously preserved from God, who spoke through other men and women, we have this record. It is the source of wisdom. And if you've been a Christian for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 30 years, and your biggest struggle today is whether or not you will be in the Scripture regularly, I can promise you, you're so far behind, you're never going to be wise. And if you look, it's not hard today. You guys okay? Wave at me if you're all right. I know, like some of you, I'm making mad. I don't want to make you mad, but I want to nudge you. Because that can't be the battle of the modern Christian. The modern Christian's biggest struggle when we come together and pray can't be, "God, could you guys pray for me? I just want to read my Bible more regularly." Really? Come on, man. That can't be it. Now, I love you guys, but let's not make that our biggest challenge. If we want to be wise, we have to read our Bible regularly. Number three, if we want to wise up, we have to own our mistakes and learn from them. There's two parts to this: owning my mistake and learning from them. Proverbs 21:11, when a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. And the idea there isn't that the wise man sat in class and now he's smarter. The idea here is the wise man made a mistake and someone instructed him and he learned from it. You know that success is a lousy teacher. Success can, it causes us to not really learn anything other than we're awesome. And it, what it does is it reinforces a pattern that we have, that there are so many other factors that might have led to your success that you have no idea whether you're successful or not. But failure, that thing that we fear the most, that is a great teacher. We have to own our mistakes and learn from them. We cannot learn from them if we have not owned them. The wise man, the wise person receives instruction, is open to learning from their mistakes. And you know, mistakes are inevitable. Is there anyone who's mistake-free here today? Okay, thank you. They're inevitable, and we can either learn from them or not. That's our choice. For instance, like, we all have these, right? We have these things that continue in our lives. Might have been, it first showed itself when you were 3 years old, and now you're 59, and you're still doing that thing you were doing at three. That means I haven't learned from it, right? And I probably haven't learned from it because I haven't owned it. Are you thinking of something right now that maybe you know about yourself, or maybe others have consistently said about you, this is something with you, and even though everybody says it, including your mother, and you say, there's no way this can be true about me. You have to start by owning it. If we want to wise up, we have to own our mistakes and learn from them. I worked with this guy for several years in the fire department, and he fancied himself a ladies' man. And he was. The guy got older and older, and man, the girls that he had, they were knockouts. Amazing. But he never kept a relationship longer than a year and a half. And so one day, you know, as firemen do, we're kind of like, you know, bugging each other, and he's telling the crew like how awesome he is. Like, chicks dig him, he's awesome, he knows so much about women. And I just looked at him and I said, dude, you don't know anything about women. He's like, dude, I do this and I got all these women, da da da. And I go, yeah, but you've never gone beyond a year and a half. All you've done is repeat kindergarten over and over again. And women 101. And I said, I've been married 30 years. I got my PhD in understanding women. Because I've owned my mistakes and I've learned from them. I don't know if that really attaches to this part of the point, but it's a great story, isn't it? And you know, that guy never learned. He kept thinking he knew everything. And he might have a beautiful girl for a month, and his longest run was a year and a half. But Ken's doing a lot better now. Okay. I digress. Okay. Okay, so fourthly, and this is connected to owning and learning, it's like we have to listen. We have to learn to listen. Linda. Listen, Linda. You've seen that on YouTube? Maybe he was reading Proverbs. Maybe he just needed a spanking. I don't know. But every image that we have of wisdom in the Bible is like wisdom is calling out to us, and we're supposed to listen. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom calls aloud in the street. Hello? She raises her voice in the public square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. So here's the scene. Busy, crowded street with all this noise and distraction, and wisdom stands at the head of the street and says, hello. And how many of us miss it? Because we're not listening for the wisdom. We have to listen. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the beach and I was surfing. Cindy was up on the shore admiring my skills. And I ended up drifting down the beach. And when I got out of the beach, when I got out on the shore, I kind of lost where Cindy was because I had drifted down. So I walked up, and the whole time she's watching me and thinking, what a hunk I have here. Baby! And what you don't know about Cindy is she can whistle really good. Like, I wish I could whistle like her. It's like, and I know her whistle. So she saw me not seeing her, and she whistled. And I snapped too with my board. And I'm like, oh, there she is. And I started walking. I noticed everyone on the beach is looking at me like. And a woman sitting there said, my husband knows my whistle too. And I looked out at the beach and I went, rawr, rawr, rawr. I really did do that. Now, I'm just saying that if you're listening for the right things, and I am wise, I listen for Cindy's whistle, then you hear what you're supposed to hear. And if we're listening, we're going to hear the wisdom of God. But if we're talking, we can't hear it. If we're distracted by everything else, we won't hear it. So let me illustrate this for you. Like, I'm going to give you a little project right now, okay? So I'm going to put some verses up on the screen. These are all about wisdom and listening. And I want all of you, when I say go, I just want you to start reading this out loud. These are great verses on listening. Just start, and you don't have to be together. You're just going to all read out loud. This is key. But while you're reading, I'm going to give you something to think about, okay? Now, no cheating. You have to read out loud. Look at the screen and read, okay? Okay, you ready? Go. Start reading. What is 7 plus 6 minus 4 minus 7 plus 8 minus 2 plus 3? Okay, stop. Who knows the answer? Answer is 11. I don't know if some of you don't even know what I was doing, but I gave you a math problem while you were reading. What is 7 plus 6 minus 4 minus 7 plus 8 minus 2 plus 3 equals 11? 4, okay. Okay, let's work on math. So we can't listen when we're talking. So we need to learn to listen. Two challenges. Go a whole day without giving advice. A whole day intentionally not giving advice. And then the second challenge I have for you, especially if you're a leader or a supervisor, read this book. It's called The Coaching Habit. Can we put it up there? One of the best books I've read in a long time about listening. Imagine that. In being a business leader, the subscript to this title, The Coaching Habit, is Say Less, Ask More, and Change the Way You Lead Forever. Fantastic book. And in this book, the author gives us what he calls the most awesome question ever. It's the world's greatest question. So if you're a person that you tend to talk and you don't even know what to ask, you could use this question. It's an awe question. When someone asks it, people go, ah. Oh. And it's an acronym too, A-W-E. And what else? And what else? That's the most awesome question ever. Because when somebody's telling us something, our tendency as talkers is to start to think about our answer, right? And the author is saying, even to supervisors, to bosses, before you enter in and give the answer, stay curious just a little longer. And if you don't know what to ask, ask this question. And what else? Draw more out. Stay curious just a little bit longer. Listen, it's a fundamental skill in gaining wisdom. Number 5, hang out with wise people. Hang out with wise people. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Who we hang out with influences us. In fact, if you want to change, completely change who you are, hang out with different people. Because the effect of who we associate with day in and day out. Now, you can't do this if you're married. to this person, right? But who we associate with constantly, they're influencing us. And so if you're stuck in a rut and you can't change a behavior or you can't seem to wise up, maybe it's because you don't have enough wise people in your life. And this is one of the reasons why at Sunridge, we think that Christianity is lived in community. We think that the believers should be connected to one another in ways that enable us to learn from one another. It doesn't mean that we're like a little bubble over here, but we have to have solid Christian friends. That's why we say join the life. It's not just that we want our stats to put you in our group. It's not just that we have work to do through you as a volunteer. We have all those things. But, you know, we know that Christians who are connected to other Christians and listening grow. You know, next Sunday, we have this country fair. By the way, there's some confusion about that. Some people think, is it just for guys? No. We have a picnic table out there decorated. If it was guys, we wouldn't think of that stuff. It's just guys, it'd be like a hot dog on the table. And like, bring your own hot dog. And that'd be our party. This is a great family party. You know, it's about patriotism. But really, I'm just like, it's really about providing opportunities for Christians to connect with one another in a fun way. So I encourage you to be a part of that and all the other things that we have here. And again, let me just be pastorly. If your biggest challenge, besides reading your Bible regularly, is connecting in your church, I mean, like being like, that means like it starts with like coming to church and like leaning into your church. Like, don't let that be your biggest challenge. You'll never be wise. And it's like, I know life's busy. There's all kinds of distractions. There's sports and there's kids. But there is a way for us to dedicate ourselves to assuring that we are connected to the family of God. Because it is going to influence you. And you're going to have the opportunity to influence others. Quickly, we're running out of time. Number six, pray. Yeah, it's that desperate, folks. We're down to praying. James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Don't you think it's like especially significant that a New Testament author would, I mean, like, if any of you lacks something, you know, you should pray. I mean, like, he could have inserted almost any word there. But wisdom is so important that we should actually even be praying for it. It gets singled out by James. When is the last time you woke up in the morning and you said, God, make me wise? Help me to be wise. Lastly, number seven, and this is mostly for students, but not solely, respect your parents. Honor your parents. This is throughout the scripture, but one verse that I put down here, Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. Part of becoming wise is placing yourself under the authority that God brings in your life. And if you struggle with that, even if your parents aren't great, think about of all the things that we have choices in. The one thing we don't get to choose is our parents. I mean, if I was choosing my parents, I would have chosen Howie Long because I'd be 6'5", 270, and run a 4.640. You know, that would be, and I'd make sure my mom was really tall and fast and physical and smart too. It's like, we don't pick our parents. That's one of those things that's solely in the category of what God has done. And there's something to learn there. It's easy to look back and judge our parents, especially when you're, when you're a student. When you're a teenager, and I'm just telling you, it's like this was shared with me when I was a young person, and my dad and I were like, I mean, we used to square off in the house, bump shoulders, you know, that thing. It's like, yeah, you know, you do in the hallway, guys do this. I don't think girls do it. Maybe they do now. I don't know. It's like, I'm not getting out of your way. We used to do that in my house. And when this was shared with me, I really changed my attitude toward my parents. And I think I learned a lot from that. Something in God's economy that says that our parents are to be honored. And wisdom comes from that. Can't always explain how, but it does. So, those are seven things we can do to wise up. Now, wisdom is completely available. If you feel like it's like out of your reach, it's not. As we read today, it's like she's in the street calling for us just to listen and come to her. But wisdom has to be pursued. And so this summer, this Wise Up series we're doing comes with a Wise Up challenge. We're calling this an all-out pursuit for 8 weeks of wisdom. We're going all out here, and what we're going to ask the church to do, in fact, you even have like an insert in here. It says the Wise Up Challenge. There's a reading every day that we're asking you to reflect, respond, and to share. So when the reading, what we're going to do is every day, whatever the date is, if you're in our email list, like if you get our once a week email, you're in it. If you're not, make sure you put on your in touch card, I'm not in there, please add me, or go in and add yourself under our website at My Sunridge, because you want to get these. Like once a day, we'll send you, whatever the date is, we'll send you that proverb. And we're asking the church, not I know everyone has their own program, but how much power will be in it if we're all on the same page here doing this? To read the proverb that matches that date, that chapter. It'll take you 5 minutes. And then once you read it, reflect on at least one verse. Spend all day, even memorize it and think about it throughout the day. Just pick one. And in doing this over 8 weeks, we'll go through Proverbs twice. And then respond to that. Like, what is the thing God is asking of you? What do you want to ask of God after reflecting on that verse? And let that thought carry with you through the day. And then we've established a blog. That's what Share is. Part of, and I'll show you on the screen what it'll look like, but we've established a blog, and we want the church to contribute to the conversation. And so you'll get an email from us that'll have the proverb. You click on it, it'll open the proverb, the whole chapter, and then you can contemplate it, you reflect upon it, and then you can actually write some thoughts. And I know that some of you are super deep thinkers, and we want you to embrace that. Some of you are more practical. We want everybody to post as you feel led to do this. And this will be our summer project of wising up as a church, that we'll be reading, we'll be reflecting, and then we'll be learning from one another on this blog. And I hope that you'll input. I hope that you'll go there and learn what other people are, how they're being challenged and the way they're interpreting that proverb. It'll look like this. You'll get the email. I don't know if you, how good you can see it, but you'll get this email from us. And you can see it says read, reflect, respond, and share. And you'll click on that. And when you click on that, it'll take you to a site that will open up the whole chapter. Now, you can read it in your Bible or YouVersion or whatever, but then when you, it'll take you to an opportunity to click and write a blog, to just write something. You could write a prayer. You could write a single thought. Whatever. You can write deep thoughts and application. But this is our opportunity to be in the Scripture daily, to be reading the Book of Wisdom, which is going to be the source, a great source of wisdom, and to learn from one another. So I want you to take the Wise Up Challenge this summer. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but let's do this as a church project. I want to encourage you to do that and jump in. Don't be afraid to fail. You might miss a few. Nobody's going to tattle on you. You're not going to get a red flag, you know, on your email that says that you missed a day. Just join us in doing this so that we can wise up. In the end, you know, as I said from the very beginning, that wisdom begins with God. And Jesus once said, if you know the truth will set you free. And he said that he is the way and the truth and the life. And so if you, this isn't a religious, this is not an exercise to become more religious. It's an expression of faith. And if you do not yet know Christ, I guess the way to the best answer for you, like, if you are wise, am I really wise? I would ask you, how free do you feel today? Have you been freed by Jesus Christ from your past, from who you are? And have you followed him in faith? Because this is where it starts, and that's where true freedom is found. And after that, all the wisdom of God is available to us through his word and through his people. Join us in that Wise Up Challenge. Let's pray. God, we just ask you to give us wisdom. It's what we need more than anything else. We are all in such different places, some of us so deep into your word and understanding and theology, and some of us just starting and exploring. Would you meet each one of us where we are and help us to grow wiser because we have aligned ourselves with the way you've designed us, and we're learning from you and learning from our brothers and sisters in Christ and the experiences that you bring into our life so that we can wise up. Amen.